Sing hymn number 143, verses 1 through 5. Responsibly, Psalm 85, found on page 140. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land.
Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob.
Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people.
Thou hast covered all their sins.
Thou hast taken away all thy wrath.
Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger.
Turn us, O God of our salvation,
and cause thine anger toward us to cease.
Wilt thou be angry with us forever?
Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations?
Wilt thou not revive us again?
That thy people may rejoice in thee.
Show us thy mercy, O Lord.
And grant us thy salvation.
I will hear what God the Lord will speak.
For he will speak peace unto his people and unto his saints. But let them not again turn to folly.
Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him.
That glory may dwell in our land.
Mercy and truth are met together.
Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Truth shall spring out of the earth.
And righteousness shall look down from heaven.
Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good.
And our land shall yield her increase.
Righteousness shall go before him.
And shall set us in the way of his steps.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first lesson this evening is found in the 10th chapter of Romans, the 1st through the 11th verse. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh in this manner. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend unto the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Here ends our first lesson. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, Lord.
We hear now the sixth portion of the Passion history, the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Then the soldiers took Jesus, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him, and he carried his cross. And as they came out, they found a man who was coming out of the country, Simon of Cyrene by name, who was the father of Alexander and Rufus. They compelled him to carry the cross for him, and laid the cross on him that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed, the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs which never bore, and the breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two others, criminals led with him to be put to death. And they brought him to the place, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull. And they gave him sour wine mingled with myrrh to drink. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink. And they crucified him at the place of Golgotha, and the two criminals with him, one on the right hand, and the other on the left, and Jesus in the center. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Pilate wrote a title, the accusation against him, the reason for his death. And they put it on the cross over his head, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many Jews read the title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'He said I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." The soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also his tunic. Now his tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They then said among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. Then when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders along with the people, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, the chosen of God, let him save himself and now come down from the cross, that we may see him and believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and immediately one of them ran, took a sponge, and filled it with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth for him to drink. But the other said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and take him down." So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And again he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And when he had said that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion who stood opposite him and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw that he cried out like this and saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly and praised God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. Truly this was the Son of God. And all the multitude who came together to that sight, seeing the things which were done, beat their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and Salome the mother of Zebedee's sons, who followed him when he was in Galilee, ministering to him, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was an high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who saw it bore witness, and his witness is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may believe. For these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And another scripture says, they will look on him whom they pierced. Here ends the sixth portion of the Passion History. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Sing verses 8, 14, and 15 of hymn 143.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for them that fear him suffer no want. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Here ends our lesson. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to rejoice in the blood which was shed for our sins, even that of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and learn from his word how greatly thou dost love us in him. Amen. Dear redeemed of the Lord, this psalm is different from the others we've heard this year during Lent, for it is a psalm full only of rejoicing. Should it seem strange that such a psalm should be chosen right before Holy Week? It surely is not. If we would understand that which caused our Lord willingly to put himself into the hands of sinful men who abused him horribly and crucified him, we have only to look but a little past that moment when he gave up his spirit into the hands of his Father. Little is said in the scriptures of the time when Jesus was in the tomb. Yet here in this psalm, we get a little glimpse as our Lord speaks of his deliverance from after death, the great peace which he knew as his body lay in the tomb, preserved by his heavenly Father, even as his soul is relieved and restored. It is remarkable, and certainly no coincidence, that once our Lord had performed his greatest labor of all, greater even than the creation of the world, he rested. And the day on which he rested was the Sabbath day. If the law of old foreshadowed Christ and was completely fulfilled in Christ, then all the Sabbath days of old pointed to the greatest Sabbath of all. The day when our Lord had finished his labors, finished the labors of our salvation, rested in the tomb. Our Lord declared, "It is finished," And as he rested in the tomb, the sun set upon the end of the law for righteousness. All our labors ended on that day. For as we heard, Christ Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And on the next morn, in a burst of glory, all things are made new. As the love of God was shed abroad in our risen Lord, by declaring what wondrous things that he had accomplished for us. Tonight we look at that time of peace and rest, and we draw our attention to a particular thing, which surely sounds odd if the scriptures did speak not of it at all. We look toward the bones of Jesus. I will read you a part of John which quotes this psalm this evening, so that you can see the context of the rest of these verses. We heard it in the Passion history already. The Jews thereof, because it was the preparation that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. For these things were done, that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. On the most basic level, the whole bones of Jesus are a testimony to the faithfulness of God. For if the scriptures prophesied that a bone of Christ will not be broken, then this prophecy must come to pass. We have such a prophecy in our psalm. And it would be but one detail among many found in prophecy if it stood alone. But it does not stand alone. In fact, this, what seems to be a small detail, is highly significant. It was remarkable enough for John to especially note it and add his own assurance that, yes, this indeed happened. I am an eyewitness, and I tell you this so that you might believe. This is important because Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Passover was the highest feast of the Jewish church year, the focal point of their entire liturgical calendar. It had the same essential place that Holy Week has for us. No wonder, for Holy Week and Easter have not replaced the Passover, but have fulfilled it. The shadow has merely given way to him who casts it. For thousands of years, the Israelites were commanded by God to keep the feast, which he instituted on the day that the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt. In Exodus 12, God gives Israel instructions concerning the Passover lamb. And in verse 46, he makes note of what shall be done with the lamb after it had been slain. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth anything of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. And Numbers 9:12 repeats the command, they shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover. They shall keep it. If the Passover was the highest point of the Jewish church year, it was also the highest ceremony of the entire law. Fulfill it, and all the law was fulfilled. There were many odd commands in the ceremonial law which God gave Israel, such as this one, that the bones of the Paschal lamb should not be broken. God commanded obedience in these and many other things, but he did not always give explicit reasons why he commanded them. And they could only be arbitrary until one sees them as shadows of Christ. In Christ, they find their meaning. No bone of the Paschal lamb was to be broken. to signify that the bones of the Lamb of God would not be broken when he fulfilled the Passover in his own great sacrifice upon the cross. One could almost surmise that by attempting to break his legs, the high priests and the chief priests would be sending the clear message that this is not the Christ. And so when we see the fulfillment that is in these words, we see why John drew special attention to the fact. You could almost consider it the clinching detail that showed that Christ is indeed the Paschal Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Of course, we're compelled to ask, is there no other significance in this? Or is there a deeper truth being taught? One might speculate, but it is not necessary for us to speculate, for our psalm speaks plainly, and it reveals to us the greater truth which the whole bones of our Lord declare. Hear again the voice of Jesus as he speaks to you in this psalm. He declares his triumph over death when he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. All you who humbly confess your sins before the cross, give ear and listen. The words of your Savior have the power to gladden your hearts. He declares to you the gracious will of God, whereby all your sins are forgiven, that you may stand righteous in his sight. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Here is an invitation from your Savior to praise God together with him, and rejoice. For when Jesus was delivered from the pains of hell and the fear of death, you too were delivered forever. They looked on him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Remember the many psalms which we have heard, which tell of they who turned away their faces and would not look at the dreadful sight of our Lord. But now it is not so. For the cross is our pride and glory. Look and be not ashamed, rather be lightened. For his cross shines with the glory of God. The nail prints and the wounds in his side are a testimony that you have been redeemed by his blood. And in the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, you also shall look upon him whom your sins had pierced, to see the proof that your sins are forgiven with your own eyes. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Jesus was the poor man, poor and lowly, bearing the weight of sin. He cried out to the Lord, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Lord heard his cry. He was forsaken only for a little while. Soon after, he declared, it is finished. And the Father received his spirit into his own hand. For Jesus had won. Death and hell were conquered. And therefore in death he returned to the Father, leaving behind the pains of hell forever. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. See how he offers you his precious gospel, his own body and blood. Taste them and see that the Lord is indeed good. Don't only look, but taste them. Experience for yourself the grace of the Lord, for he has grace to cover all sins, your sins, with the blood of his Son. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. In this life we often seem to be in want, lacking much that is needed, Christ's disciples endure such thing, and the world shakes their head and wonders why we continue in our faith. But any poverty which we know here is an illusion. For in Christ Jesus there is no good thing that we lack. In fact, all things are ours. And when we stand before the judgment throne, we will plead the blood of Christ, for it too is ours. And by that blood, all of the treasures of heaven will be opened unto us. Even now they are ours, and they are imparted to us through his word and sacraments. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You who would learn the ways of righteousness need only hearken unto your Savior, for he is the key to pleasing the Father in heaven. Only by him can you learn to love good and hate evil. And only through him can you pursue peace and find it. For he gives to you the peace which passes all understanding, peace with God in heaven. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Christ our Lord is the fountain and source of all righteousness. By his righteousness he could bear the cross, and still hope for deliverance from his suffering. And he imparts that righteousness to you, so that the Lord is always near you. Even as the Lord delivered Christ from the grave, so he shall deliver you. For the Lord is nigh unto all them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Our Lord's heart was broken as he was crushed by the wrath of God for our sins. His heart was contrite as he submitted to that wrath, even unto death. Yet, the Lord was always near to him, even as he is near to you, who come before him with the greatest sacrifice which the Lord desires, a broken and a contrite heart, things that he will not despise. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Upon Jesus, the righteous one, all affliction was laid. They were many. If he, the righteous, endured such affliction, we who receive all our righteousness from him cannot expect to be free from affliction. And as he was afflicted unto death, we who are made righteous through Christ expect one day that we also shall die. Indeed, all men must die. But only the righteous can boast, but the Lord shall deliver me. Yes, in Christ we conquer even death. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. And why? Because of what the previous verse said. He is the righteous one. Because he is righteous, he is preserved by the Lord. The bones support the body. If your bones are broken, your flesh, no matter how strong, cannot function rightly. The righteousness of Christ supports our spirit. Upon that frame we hang many good works. We can perform them only because we have his righteousness within us. By preserving the bones of Christ, God both declared his Son to be the Lamb which takes away the sin of the world, and declared the righteousness of his Son. Therefore, we can rejoice and be glad that Christ is both our Passover and our righteousness. He imparts what the old law could not, perfect purity before the Father in heaven. Evil shall slay the wicked. They that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The wicked are they who despise the righteousness which Christ offered unto them. They do not have his righteousness, and therefore their end can only be the eternal destruction of their souls. Endless desolation is their lot. For such is the true worth of all that we have apart from Christ. It is all desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall never be desolate. You shall be rich and full. Even so may we trust in the righteousness of Christ, and we shall have it, that we shall be found standing on the last day, lacking in no good work, but fully enriched with all the goodness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God grant that you may ever be endowed with his righteousness. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn number 439.
And may thy Holy Spirit move.
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense. Christ, we give thee thanks that through death thou hast destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and delivered us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. And we beseech thee, grant us thy grace, that as our old man is crucified with thee, we may henceforth not serve sin, but being risen with thee, walk in newness of life. Assist us in our last hour, and comfort us with thy precious merit. Thou who hast redeemed us, O Lord of truth, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that we, being defended by thee from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.